What's up? It's Delaney, and I'd love to invite you to become an honorary co-host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Do you want to pick episode topics and guests? Done. Want to surprise your loved ones with shout-outs on the show for a birthday, project launch, a much-needed divorce? Whatever you're up to, would love to be a part of the celebration. Get your favorite and least favorite quotes featured on the podcast, submit questions for our special guests, and find lots more new features and surprises at patreon.com/selfhelpless. You'll also get added to our Patreon Insider email list to easily redeem rewards via a quick email reply. Because we know hanging out on Patreon isn't everyone's thing. You can also opt out of emails if you prefer to be a silent supporter of the show. And don't worry, we do not Scrooge McDuck these contributions. 100% of proceeds go directly to operating expenses that make this weekly podcast possible and available to all. Learn more at patreon.com/selfhelpless or simply click the link in this episode's description. Thank you for helping me fill the void of being the last standing host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Thank you so much.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
My mind's playing tricks on me. Why won't it let me be? Look inside and try to find, but nothing seems to give me sweet relief. Why won't it let me be? Look inside and try to find, but every time it seems I lose my mind. My mind. Oh,
It's Self-Helpless with Kelsey Cook, Delaney Fisher, and Taylor Tomlinson.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Self-Helpless. I'm Delaney Fisher.
I'm Taylor Tomlinson.
And I'm Kelsey Cook.
And oh my gosh, do we have an episode today? One of my favorite people is here today, good friend of mine, successful television producer, wonderful mother, hilarious and all-around stunning woman, inside and out, Jessie Sella, everybody.
Woo!
Far too kind. You've never seen me actually mother.
I have. I've seen you kind of mother indirectly. We went to a bachelorette party together.
That's true.
And bitch was pumping during all the activities. Okay.
Hey.
That is somebody who gives a shit about that kid.
Yeah, that's a warrior.
That kid was me, be like, you take the formula. Adios.
I appreciate that. You're
but
right.
Yeah.
You're right. I sat there topless
in
a cabin.
God, yeah.
And just pumped in front of strangers.
Oh my God. While we were like binge drinking.
That's true.
So
oh my
you're
God.
A fucking warrior.
Thank you.
And the fact that you didn't you have like a lot of dietary restrictions because
I did.
Yeah.
So my daughter was had a ton of food allergies, but when they're little, you don't test them like you would like an adult where you can like blood test them and, you know, give them a bunch
skin
of things.
Test,
and
they, yeah.
Exactly. Skin test. I'm sorry. So we just had to eliminate everything from my diet. So So I was basically eating protein and vegetables. I couldn't have dairy, soy, you know, eggs, corn, coconut, like just random things, fish, shellfish, like anything you can think
coconut?
Of.
Coconut?
It was
fish?
So, well, fish, shellfish.
Shellfish,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
A big
shellfish.
Allergy, yeah.
Yeah. It's actually really a big allergy. So I was basically off everything. And when they did the main ones, coconut and corn were like two of the ones.
With,
oh, sorry.
No, you're fine.
Like when she still had, sorry, TMI, they test their poop for blood in their stools.
Yeah.
And she still had blood in her stool. So I had to eliminate more. So I was just basically off everything.
Jesus.
So I did bring my own food to the bachelorette party.
She was pumping. Oh, she brought her own food. And I'm telling you, she was still extremely fun. Like, I'm serious.
I was going to say.
Like, the fact
and
that.
And she sucked.
Oh, no. Like, I just couldn't believe, like, you had all this stuff going on and you were a pleasure to hang out with.
Oh,
and
well,
I mean
thank
that
you.
Sincerely because, like,
wow.
Some people don't got anything going on and they suck to hang out with. So it's like, it was great.
Well,
and we talked a little bit about this and I'm so happy that you're here. Our topic today is postpartum depression. So thank you for being here.
Thank
and
you
being,
for having me.
Yeah, of course. And being willing to open up about this.
Sure.
I know this topic isn't super easy to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that you're going to help a lot of people by
thank you. I hope so.
Talking about your experience. So why don't we kick it off with your favorite or least favorite quote, and then we can get into the meat.
Okay. So you guys always do like punchy, quick, like, oh yeah, that speaks to me so well. So I'm going to say my quote and it's going to make no sense. So my favorite quote that I say all the time, surprisingly, is it never dawned on me you could be a jerk in a wheelchair. And I know that makes no sense.
Where's that from?
No, I totally get that.
Do you get it?
Yes, I do.
What show is that from?
Oh, no, I don't know what
it's from. The Golden Girls, which is my favorite show. And honestly, there's a Golden Girls episode for literally every point in your life. I highly recommend it.
Yeah.
So Blanche, one of the main characters, gets... This is, by the way, the Golden Girls is a show in the 80s, just in case anybody doesn't know. Millennials, you know. I am one, so I can say that. So Blanche meets a guy in a library who's, like, sitting down reading, and he asks her out on a date. And then he pulls later. She says yes. He pulls away, and you see he's in a wheelchair. And so she, like, hems and haws about going on a date with him. She goes on a date with him. but something just feels off. And then she finds out later that he has a wife, and Blanche is, like, his side piece. And she's like, it never dawned on me you could be a jerk sitting down. And so I just say that. I know that probably makes no sense. Thank you. So for me, I feel like it's, like, I know there's the you never judge a book by its cover, right? But for me, it's like, anybody can be an asshole. So that's how I take it. It's like, oh, no, you feel bad for this person. No, they're probably an asshole. So that's just not the most uplifting quote, but that's literally what I live my life by.
I feel like that's...
Asshole until proven not.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like that's me every conversation I have with Delaney about people I'm mad at. And she's like, well, have you thought about where they're coming from?
Totally not.
And you're like, no. No, I haven't. I think they're just a jerk and they can't walk.
Yeah, exactly. You're a jerk in a wheelchair.
That is so funny.
I've used that quote in far too many situations, but it's my favorite quote.
That's a great
one. I love it. Yeah. We have not heard that. There's been some repeats on the show, and that is definitely not
well,
one of
I
them.
Cross my fingers that it's never...
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, please.
I was just going to say, I do feel, though, that they have more like of a carte blanche to be an asshole, because if I was in a wheelchair, I sure shit would be pretty damn cranky all the time.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I probably wouldn't be sunshines and rainbows.
Totally.
That's a really hard life. So,
yeah. Right.
There's
cranky, and then there's I'm cheating on my wife.
Thank you.
Sure. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Must be a little frumpy Gus.
Yeah.
Hey, you're ruining a lot of people's lives.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, that was a good one. Anything before we dive into the meat, anybody?
Let's dive on in.
Okay, so if you're not familiar with postpartum depression, I found a couple things on the interwebs. If you Google it, WebMD, the Mayo Clinic has lots of good information. Definitely do your own research. So just a little bit of a backstory. A PPD is a biological complication of pregnancy. During pregnancy, levels of certain hormones rise and then rapidly fall after giving birth. In some women, these hormone shifts may contribute to PPD. Symptoms may include sadness, tearfulness, or hopelessness, outbursts or irritability, even over small matters, anxiety or restlessness, feelings of worthlessness or guilt, trouble bonding with your baby, thoughts of harming yourself or your baby. There's a lot of interesting information that I had no idea. I really feel like this issue should be talked about more, because I'm a 28-year-old woman just finding stuff out about what could happen to me after giving birth. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I'm so glad that we're going to be discussing this. So there's something called baby blues, which might only last a couple weeks after giving birth. So if anything after a couple weeks doesn't subside, you're now into, postpartum depression symptoms. There's something called postpartum psychosis, which I did not realize, which is confusion and disorientation, obsessive thoughts about your baby, hallucinations and delusions, sleep disturbances, excessive energy and agitation, paranoia, attempts to harm yourself or your baby. So it can be a gradual thing. So if it's not subsiding after a few weeks, definitely seek some help and try to get on a plan. There's antidepressants and therapy and everything out there. And I didn't realize that new fathers can experience postpartum depression as well. I'm sure it's very different than what the mom is going through. Depression, fatigue, overwhelmed, lots of anxiety. So this can affect everybody. So do your own research, but that's a little brief overview. And we'll just get into talking to Jessie now about her experience.
Yeah.
So I guess the first question I had was, When did you know that something felt different or off? Like, was it a sudden thing? Was it gradual? Kind of talk about
that. So for me, I actually also had peripartum depression, which is even less known about.
Yeah.
It's when you're depressed during pregnancy. So, So we got pregnant and we were trying. Like, this wasn't a surprise. This is something that my husband and I both wanted. So it's not like this was a surprise pregnancy and I was like, oh my God, my life, what am I going to do? You know, this is something we were actively going after.
Yeah.
A couple months in, like after we knew, I just didn't feel right. I didn't feel like those happy, you know, like you see everybody and they're like, oh, you're glowing. I was not glowing. I was not, you know, I was, I mean, I also had a really hard pregnancy. I threw up my entire pregnancy. I was on medication for that. Oh, but, you know, that's, it's okay.
Yeah.
But I just didn't feel right. And I remember telling my doctor, I was like, I don't feel right. I don't know how to explain that, but I don't feel like myself and I'm not feeling like happy.
Yeah.
And she was like, you probably have peripartum depression, so you will likely have postpartum depression. So I was probably one of the rare ones that knew ahead of time that this was a potential issue for me. And then she said, we can either start you on antidepressants a couple weeks before you deliver, or you can see how you're doing after, and we can talk about treatment then, because you might not have it, you're just high risk. And I was like, I'm going to have the cleanest pregnancy. I don't want to take anything. Like, let's see how I'm doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And right after I had her, I was like, this is not good. I felt it.
Gosh.
I was instantly for me. Not like, not once I birthed her out and held her, but once that adrenaline rush went away and we were in the hospital, I was like, I just don't feel right. It had nothing to do with her. I never felt those feelings of, you know, wanting to hurt her or myself.
Right.
I just didn't feel right.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we went home, I just felt like all I could do, I breastfed her. Obviously, we talked about pumping.
Yeah.
All I could do was feed her, and then I couldn't touch her because I was going to ruin her. That was my fear.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So the fear of, like, being a bad mom or something or accidentally hurting her?
Yeah. And it wasn't accidentally hurting her.
Okay.
It was the obsession that I shouldn't have been a mom.
Oh,
that I shouldn't have brought her here, and I'm going to ruin her life because I shouldn't have been a mom. So I was like, all I can do is feed her, and I can't touch her because I'm going to ruin her.
Oh,
wow.
It's okay. I'm okay now.
Yeah.
You guys, I'm okay now.
Yeah.
I'm okay now.
Yeah.
That's making me really sad.
Yeah.
It was
so sad.
But
yeah,
that's, my gosh.
So I actually, my husband, about a week later, and my mom were like, you can't, because I would just sit in the corner of my couch and hide and cry.
Yeah.
And so my husband and my mom were like, you have to go. This is not, like, because obviously they were Googling. We've all read the same articles. And I was like, check.
Yeah,
all of this applies to me, you know?
Right.
So they were like, you have to go to the doctor. And we have to figure this out because you can't live like this.
Yeah.
So I went back to the doctor, and they prescribed me some antidepressants. And those really didn't help. I feel like I'm dragging.
No, this is great.
Okay.
Seriously.
You're like a dream guest.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
I know you said something before about, like,
if you guys
want to be funny. It's like, it doesn't always have to be funny.
Yeah.
We happen to be comedians, but, like, mainly we just want to talk about.
Yeah. Things. Comedians are also very dark people.
Sure.
So.
Oh, yeah, I understand.
So you're fine.
Yeah. Great. So sorry. So I was on, they put me on antidepressants, and I took those for a while, and it just kind of took the edge off, but I was just not in a great place. And I would obsess over, like, for me, I felt like I hyper focused on her sleep patterns. It's like, it makes no sense. I'm sure everybody has a different experience. They might, you know, do different things, but I obsessed over when she was sleeping, how much she was sleeping, how much she was eating, because I told you she had stomach issues.
Yeah.
So she was like lower on the weight scales for a long time, obsessing about what I was eating, like everything.
Wow.
Just, and then if it wasn't perfect, because I'm a type A planner, I felt like I was failing, and it would just send me spiraling, you know?
Yeah.
Wow.
Can I ask how long ago this all was?
So my daughter's 18 months.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Did Delaney show us a picture? She's very beautiful.
She's cute. But she's mine, so obviously.
Yeah, I'm in love with this.
Yeah, we are very beautiful.
I'm going to pop out nuggo.
It could happen. My husband and I always talk about we could have, because I'm really hairy. And I have short arms and legs, and he has a short torso and a big
furry
forehead.
T-Rex.
And I was like, we can have a short arm, short legged, big forehead furball who can't see. It can happen. We're going to have another one. So,
yeah. Oh, yeah. So,
fingers crossed.
Talk about. So, you're going to be trying for a second baby. How are you feeling about that? Are you nervous that all this is going to come back immensely?
Yeah. So, I am an idiot and I didn't get help. I went to the doctor once. Got the meds.
Didn't really work.
Didn't really do much for me, but I felt like, how selfish am I to leave my kid who I'm supposed to take care of to go talk to somebody? You know, like, that's how I felt. I was like, that seems so selfish. Like, she needs me. I need to be able to get my shit together so I can take care of her. And I have to, I was breastfeeding her. So I was like, how am I going to leave her? Like, I didn't think about pumping and giving her a bottle, but, you know, whatever.
Right.
You get there.
Yeah.
We want to have another kid. And my husband was like, I, you know, we want to do this, but you need to talk to somebody. We need to get both of us some tools because, I mean, really my support system was my mom and my husband, and I have good friends, but I wasn't, you know, telling them all of everything.
Right.
But he's like, I need tools to help you if this happens again. And you need tools to help you get through it if it happens again.
Yeah. Right.
And it might not. Some people only experience it once, and I'm hoping that maybe I will be a lucky one that only experiences it once. But yeah.
Yeah.
Therapy is probably going to be a really good thing for me to do.
Yeah.
So I am nervous about it. I think it would be silly not to be. I think it'd be silly not to be nervous to become a parent anyways, because it's such a big, like, it's a big deal. You want to make a good person that's like a productive member of society and doesn't suck.
Right.
You know, like, that's a big freaking deal.
Yes. Yeah.
So, yes, you know, I will find help, I promise.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Well, thank you for being open about that,
well,
too.
Sure, you're
like,
welcome.
Yeah, you don't have it all figured out.
I
None
don't.
Of us do.
No.
We're just trying our best. When did you feel like these feelings subsided, or are they still kind of there?
Well, for me, it lasted. So I had a really bad experience with my doctor, and she said, because I went back for a checkup, and I said, well, how long do I need to be on these antidepressants? And she said, well, you can stop taking them, and if you're still depressed after 3 months, you just have clinical depression. And that's not true. That is not true. It can last. Yeah. You can get postpartum depression up to a year after you deliver. So that
really,
yeah.
Oh wow.
So yeah. So that was bad information. And so I just stopped taking the meds one day, which is also bad advice.
Right.
My friend, you got to wean off.
Yeah.
That.
My friend who's a midwife was like, "That was really terrible advice. Start taking them again. Cut the pills in half and like wean yourself off." So I did that. And it lasted. Man, I would trigger, and again, still for me, like my trigger is her sleep. It's stupid. It makes no sense. She slept through the night since she was 4 months old. Like, she takes good naps. But if she doesn't take a good nap, I would freak out. Mm. And
What was that fear?
I don't know.
Like, that she would be, like, unhealthy or...
It was, like, I was probably overprepared, and I read so many books, right?
Mm.
And I was like, well, if she doesn't sleep, then she's not going to grow, and her brain's not going to develop, and she's going to be an idiot. Like, it would just, it made no sense, but it was just these spiraling thoughts of... Yeah. If I can't get her to sleep and she needs it, then I'm also failing as a mom.
Oh, God.
You know, it's just, it's like, it's wanting to meet all of her needs and not realizing that that's just not realistic. You can't meet somebody else's needs completely, you know?
Right, right.
So, so for me, it probably lasted maybe 9 months, maybe. And sometimes still I will freak out.
Do you feel like a lot of that comes from, I mean, I know you said you're not clinically depressed, but do you have a lot of like perfectionistic tendencies? And you said you were type A, like, do you feel like it comes from a place of like wanting to do everything perfectly, and then having a kid is just like so much higher stakes of needing to do everything perfectly?
Probably. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wouldn't say that is for every type A person, but it was probably for me. Yes.
Yeah.
I would say, yeah. And for me also, like, it would come out in like anger. I would get irrationally angry if she wasn't sleeping, like sleeping. We'll just use that because that was my main trigger.
Right.
When she was supposed to be, I was like, no, the books say she's supposed to be doing this. Why? I'm doing everything right. Why isn't she sleeping? And I would just spiral and I would get irrationally mad. I would feel my whole like physical body would like tense up. I would sweat. I would just get angry. And I'm not an angry person.
Wow.
Like, I'm a hothead sometimes. I got a little bit of a temper, but I don't freak out on little things like that. And I just felt out of control, you know, because you have a kid, you feel out of control of your life. Cause all of a sudden, like, your life comes second to taking care of somebody else.
Yeah.
And then when she was, I was like, I'm doing everything I can to take care of you. Why aren't you doing what I need you to do? I would then reflect that on myself and get angry. And I just hated that about myself.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's what's so terrifying about having kids is like, you just
don't
know.
Oh, I don't want to scare you.
No.
You're going to be great, babe.
Oh my God. That's hilarious. You just told us the most heart-wrenching, terrifying stories. And obviously we're all like, whoa, a little freaked out to have kids. And you're like, oh my God, don't worry. It's going to be amazing. I don't want to scare you. Okay. Well,
it's interesting because I feel like I'm talking to myself right now. I feel like you and I are very similar people. And I 100% foresee this for myself.
Mm-hmm.
So, because we're all so type A perfectionistic, and you've always talked about how like you were concerned about losing your identity and all that, and the pull between, you know, being the working mom with the stay at home mom and what do you do and all that. And I've already have those feelings. I don't even have kids yet. So I really think, and my mom, had postpartum as well. So I know, I think you're more susceptible if it runs in the family. I'm not sure if you read about that a little bit, Jesse, but,
I think my mom did too, actually.
Yeah,
with my brother, at least. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just with your brother?
I'm not sure. I need to ask her, but I know that I think there was some depression happening there. She's had depression before, so yeah. I'm sure that wouldn't be unusual in that situation.
Sometimes I'm on jokes about, like, I'm still going through it.
Yeah,
it hasn't ended.
Fucking 28-year-old postpartum depression.
Exactly. Do you guys have questions? I have a whole list.
I think we all have.
Okay.
Go for it.
Okay.
Yeah, so go ahead.
The next one. Actually, you answered a lot of stuff.
Sorry, I ramble.
No, this
is
great. This is so good. Actually, maybe can we touch on the identity thing?
Sure.
Because we've talked about that a little bit on the podcast.
Yeah.
When you, what was going through your head when you were like, who am I now? And how do I kind of talk about myself, or how does this work?
Sure. Okay. So when I got married, I didn't change my name. Like, I very, like, I'm proud. Thank you. I'm like proud of who I am. My husband's like, you've Jessie Sella. You've been that your whole life. That's who you are to me. Like, I don't care. Do whatever you want.
Yeah.
So I knew when we wanted to have kids, I was always concerned about, I was like, I don't want to lose who I am. Like, I don't ever want to be Vinny's wife or Sophia's mom. Like, I don't want those titles to define who I am. Like, those are part of who I am, but, like, I'm Jessie, and I want to keep that.
Yeah.
And I didn't really realize how hard that balance was going to be until I had a kid. Mm-hmm. And I was lucky to stay home with her for 9 months until I went back to work. But am I answering your question?
Yeah. No, keep on going. How was it going back to work?
Going back to work was hard at first, because once Sophia started learning that I was leaving and I was going to be gone for a long time, leaving started getting hard, and I started, like, sneaking out of the house so I didn't have to confront her crying until I had a friend actually tell me, and this is great advice, that that's a bad idea, because then she's not going to trust that if you ever leave a room, that she can trust that you're going to, you know, where you're going to be.
Yeah.
Like, she'll be like, she'll question where you are. She had problems with her son because she was doing the same thing. She's like, you got to stop doing that. You have to let her see you leave, let her feel her feelings, and go.
That's really good advice.
Yeah.
That's where were you? Because I just met her. I was like, where were you when I was struggling a long time ago?
But
going back to work, well, for me, it was easier because I was going back to work with a crew of people that I had worked with my entire career. So I was going back to, like, working with my best friends. So for me, it was, and they understood, like, everything that I went through. Well, not everything, but most of the things that I went through, they understand I had postpartum because I'm very open about it. And, like, if I needed to go pump or cry or anything, like, they would sit in the pump room with me and or any of those things. So for me, it was easier to go back to work. And I was working for someone who loves his wife and daughter. So it's always easy to work with someone who loves their family, because they understand, like, you want to go home, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if you get your shit done and I can trust you, get the fuck out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it was hard, but I went to a really good environment. So I was lucky. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I was able to stay home with her 9 months. Like, I feel really bad for the moms who either don't have any maternity leave or have to go back in 4 months. Like, they're still babies. A lot of 4-month-olds aren't sleeping through the night.
Yeah.
And you're asking them to go back to work?
Yeah.
It's horrible.
Yeah. So did going back to work make you feel like you were sort of kind of coming back into your own identity again?
100%.
Yeah, so that was kind of 100%.
For me, it was really helpful. A lot of moms can stay at home, and I think that that's great. But for me, like, I need adult interaction. I needed brain stimulation, you know? And I needed to be creative and funny. Which I know I don't sound very funny right now, but I promise I'm, like, somewhat
funny.
Somewhat funny.
You're funny, girl.
So, you know, and for me, that helped me. I was like, God, this is who I am. This is what I needed, you know?
Yeah.
So for me, it was really helpful going back.
I can only imagine how isolating it is to be home with your child, even if it's amazing and you don't have postpartum and your pregnancy was a dream and you never threw up once. Working, you know, like you do and like so many women do, and then just going to being home every day, all the time.
Tough transition.
I can't imagine how hard that is.
Yeah. I also think, it's terrible how women judge each other based on that decision. Yeah,
right.
Whether it's like you got the stay-at-home moms versus the working moms sometimes.
I think
that's absolute horseshit. I think
100%.
it's an individual decision, and it depends on the personality. Like you said, your personality, you need to be doing certain things. Some people, all they want to do is stay at home and be a mom, and that's fantastic.
Right. Yeah.
Did you get any... like guilt trips from any other mothers when you said that you were going back to work or that's what you really wanted to do or what?
Zero.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Good. Honestly, most, especially in California, I feel like we need two incomes. So I feel like most of my friends that have kids work. And so I didn't get any of that. I got a lot of, because I'm fortunate enough that like my husband's like, I just want you to work when you want to work. Like I work in TV so I can like, I go job to job. So he's like, only take jobs that you want. Like if you want to stay home with Sophia forever, you can stay. I don't care. Do whatever you want.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people don't
have
that.
That's great. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So like
what
I have,
your husband do?
He's a lawyer.
Oh, okay.
He's so sweet.
Oh,
nailed
he
it.
Is good. He's a good boy.
Yeah.
He's a good boy. He's great.
Her husband's a dog.
He also has his own Dicks by Delaney mug. Plug for you, babe.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
I believe he got one before you guys did.
Yeah.
Oh, everyone got
one.
He's pretty elite. Yeah. I don't have one if it makes you feel any better.
Okay,
I'm not vindicified. But no, he's great. He's honestly like what got me through this whole thing. Yeah. I've never met a more patient person in my life because I was a fucking disaster and probably honestly a nightmare to be around.
Yeah. Mm. What were some ways that he helped and like supported you through that time?
Honestly, just letting me cry like all the time, listening to me, telling me things I didn't want to hear.
Really?
Like
what?
Like you need help.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Right. And I did. And I did. And I didn't know how to do it. I was like, Vinny, I don't have time to go shop around for a therapist because I know it's like dating and you have to find someone that you like. And I was like, I don't have time for that. What am I supposed to do with Sophia?
Yeah.
I have to pump every 3 hours. What am I supposed to, you know, like I can't, I don't have the time for this. And so he would just let me cry or scream or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was doing that a lot. I was waking up crying, you know, like I would wake him up and be like, I don't want to cry by myself. This feels really weird.
Oh,
and he's like, I'll just roll over, but I'm going to go back to sleep because I have to go to work. But I mean, he was amazing. I could not have asked for a better partner, and I put him through shit. Like, I see how people can, you know, lose somebody over this. I don't know if they do. I'm sure people do because I was not fun to be around.
Yeah.
And I'm a delight.
Most of the time.
I
mean, to the point where I had no idea that you were going through this. That's how much of a fucking delight you are.
Because
I was not seeing any. I mean, we don't see each other all the time.
Sure.
But anytime I saw you, it was like, no freaking clue.
Yeah.
So did you talk before the podcast started? You talked about did you find like a counselor versus in an app or something?
Yet.
Okay.
But actually, this woman that I follow, an interior designer on Instagram. So go figure that she would be the one that.
Who is it?
Her name's Amber Lewis. She does Amber Interiors. I'm obsessed with literally everything she does.
I might have followed
her. Oh, yeah,
nice.
I'm sure you do. She's amazing. She gives me life. She does not need me to talk about how great she is, but she posted, she did a campaign with a bunch of different like influencers, and her thing was postpartum depression. And so she linked to this Instagram. This was only a few weeks ago, actually. She linked to this Instagram account called, it's for postpartum.net. And literally I was like, what the fuck? Why not?
Yeah.
Like, this was right after she asked me to come on, and I was like, I need to do something. Like, if this isn't a kick in the ass, I don't know what is. So I clicked on the Instagram account, I clicked on their link in their profile, and right there on the homepage was a number to text for help. And so I literally texted, and this is all because of you, honestly, because you asked me to come on. And I was like, fuck it. And I texted help to the number, and someone texted me back right away.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. So they're there 24/7. I assume it's a great resource. But she's like, I'm going to hook you up with the person in your, she's like, give me your city, your zip code.
Yeah.
And I will get you in contact with the person that's in your area. I'll send an email right now looping her in. And then the next day that woman sent, we set up a call. She called me and then she sent me references. She's here's a list of people you need to call. If you don't like any of them, call me back and we'll do this again.
Oh, that's incredible.
Amazing. Do you remember
this
website? What this
website's it's called? postpartum.net.
Okay.
Literally on their front page is a call, like a number you can call or a number you can text. And it's a hotline that somebody mans.
Oh, that's amazing.
My girl was Sarah. She was great.
what a great resource.
Wow. Yeah. Seriously.
I was like, yeah, like, it was so easy. I was like, why didn't this come up in my goddamn Google search 18 months ago?
Seriously. So, well, we talk about how hard it is to find a good therapist, and I just tried betterhelp.com/selfhelpless. And I've been loving it because of the convenience and all that too. But yeah, it's like, before you start, you're like already stressed out and anxious about it. I've had the same feelings about therapy too. So oh my gosh, please keep us updated on who you end up hooking up with.
Well, and just for any other moms out there, I've checked out two of their websites. I haven't called anybody yet because that's, I'm a procrastinator. Who can be a perfectionist and a procrastinator? But it's me. I embody it all.
You're scared of failure? Because you're putting off.
I'm scared of failure. Literally, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, yeah. Nope. Got through all that in high school therapy.
Yeah.
I was like,
God, you started early.
I know. Oh, yeah. Real early. But yeah, I had a question. So when you said you were trying, this was obviously very deliberate. Did you always want kids, like, from the time you were really young? Were you not sure for a while?
I wasn't, not that I didn't want to be a mom. I just never felt, I hate other people's kids.
Yes.
OPC, other people's children.
They suck. They suck. So I was like, man, like, I don't want to hang out with you and your fucking kids. Like, I want to do my own thing, and I don't like you.
Yeah.
So I was like, maybe. So then when I got pregnant, I wasn't happy. I was like, man, maybe I wasn't supposed to be a mom. And you know what I mean? And then when I had her and those feelings came, that's when everything heightened for me.
Yeah.
But I was like, I never didn't want kids. Mm-hmm. I just was like, yeah, whatever. Like, I don't love kids, but like, I'll have my own because like I'm great. So like, why would I have kids? No, I don't think I'm great. No, I'm fine.
You are great. You're great. When I'm you fine. Decided to have kids, though, were you still kind of like, yeah? Like, did you feel like your husband maybe was more gung ho about it? Did you feel like you got to a point where you were like, yeah, that'd be fun. Yeah. We're gonna be great at this.
I was Look more the latter. Yeah. Yeah, it was like, well, everybody else can do it. Like, why not?
I'm constantly fascinated by how people come to the decision to have kids because
you just
never know how you're gonna feel, especially throughout your 20s. Like when you're the difference from when you're 20 to when I'm sure like you're 29 is you're a completely different human being, probably several times throughout.
Yeah. Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
I feel like I'll never feel ready. Like, I'll You're feel not. Like I'm never going to have my ducks in a row. So, like, that feeling doesn't come, right? You just do it anyway.
I don't even have ducks. Literally, I am duckless. I have no ducks. No, I mean, it's just, we got to the point where we were like, well, if we're going to do it, like, I want to do it. Yeah, this is so stupid. No, it's not. This is actually very brilliant. I'll take that back.
Okay.
We're like, if we're going to have kids, I want to have them young. So when they're out, I'm still young and can do whatever I want.
Yeah.
Right.
So I was like, we're going to have kids young. So like by the time I'm 50-ish, they'll be out of the house. And I've still got like 30 years of living, doing whatever the fuck I want to do.
Right. Yeah. I'm still happy that you did that.
Yes. 100%.
Okay. Can I ask how old you are?
You can ask me anything.
Okay. So when I like, you know, like, I feel like
how old do you think I am?
No, don't fucking do that to me.
I'm
going to
turn it on you.
18. I know we have so much info about you now. So I'm like, okay, based on the fact that you have a kid and a husband and your ring's very nice, I would guess this is. But if you had just walked up to me and I had no information about you, I'd be like, okay, so you're an Instagram influencer.
Oh,
you're probably 22 and you take pictures on the beach and that's how you make money. Yeah. That's what I would have assumed about you.
Oh, that's very kind of
you. So I have no idea how old you are.
Yeah. I'm scared of social media. I have just to follow. Obviously, I talked about that woman that I follow, but I have no pictures. I'm 30.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm 30.
So you had Sophia at 29?
I have 28.
At 28.
And, yeah, almost 29. Okay. We're born in the same month.
Get so cracking, guys.
Oh, yeah.
So let's go.
I need you guys to make babies so I can
get
hold
of those first. Those you're pretty diamonds.
Yeah, that's pretty.
Yeah, well, we were together for like 11 years before we got married. So I was like, I get like, I
get together for 11 years.
Yeah. High school,
high school?
Years, right? Oh, dude, they have such a cute story.
Yeah, wait, I want to hear the story.
We don't even have a story. It's like, if it's easy, you just stay with that person. That's just kind of like what we did.
If it ain't broke, don't fucking leave it.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. We love each other. We enjoy each other's company. Like, that's, aww. I mean, we met when I was 11 and he was 12. He's older. And, you know, and then we started dating when I was 15 and he was 16. And then we just kind of like kept going until we got married. And now, well, we're still going, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, did you ever break up like even once?
I tried once. I tried once when I was 16 or 17. And I texted him. I don't even know if I texted at that point. I might have called him and said, you need to come over. We need to talk. And then he came over and started crying because he knew. And I was like, oh, no, I'm sorry. No, we don't know. And so we stayed together. And that's it. I felt so bad. And like, it was so stupid. I was a dumb kid. So we never broke up.
Yeah,
so cute.
Great. Yeah, it really is.
And it's also nice because we've like both been through all of our shit together. So I don't have to like explain. I couldn't imagine dating. Oh God, being single sounds like the most terrifying thing in the world.
Yeah. It's tough nowadays. It's tough.
I could not imagine because like he's seen all of my shit. I've seen all of his shit. And we don't have to fucking talk about it. Explain like why I'm fucked up. You know why I'm
you
fucked up.
You fucked me up.
You did this.
You were there.
Yeah. You were there. You've seen it.
Yeah.
Wow. That's really interesting to hear the perspective of you chose to do it younger, because I know that that's like people basically choose one or the other. Sure. So it's like you have the kids and then you can go live and do whatever you want. I still feel like I'm gonna wait till I'm like 35 because I still feel like I need to squeeze juice out of the next 5 years.
Yeah. You're also traveling all the time.
Yeah.
And like your lifestyle is not conducive to children.
But I do, it's comforting to hear that you're like, no, you don't get to a point where you're like, absolutely, I want them right now. Like, you just kind of get to an age where you're like, well, if we're going to do it, let's do it.
Yeah. I mean, some people do.
Yeah,
I have
friends
who was like, I have a friend who was like, I want my kids at 27 and 29, and that's when she had them.
Wow.
So, you know, and for me, I was just like, oh, God, like, I'm a dime, like, to time, and I like to, like, plan things, but I was like, God, I was, like, 27. I was like, ooh, do I want to do this?
Yeah.
And then I obviously did, because I was pregnant at 27.
Yeah.
But, you don't.
Yeah.
It's a big fucking responsibility.
Yeah.
Shit.
Can we talk? You're so honest, and I love this. Can we talk about, let's talk about what the day in the life of a mom. Like, I want the gritty details. I want the, like, the highest high and the lowest low. I mean, we talked about
I want to know about immediately after you give birth, because I know all the gross stuff that happens during it.
I pooped.
Yeah, you did poop?
Atta girl.
Well, I was like, I don't want to know if I poop. And then I was like, I need to know. Did I poop?
Wait. You didn't know if you pooped?
No.
You can't feel it.
Okay, so I was like, I don't want an epidural. I want to do this naturally. What the fuck? So the nurse, so I say that, and then the nurse came in holding something, and I was like, what's that? And she's like, it's an epidural for when you're ready. And I was like, okay, I'm ready. You start going through it. And I was like, she's like, you don't get a trophy. Like, I admire anyone that goes through it, like, without. But it was so much better with having the drugs and not feeling anything. But you don't feel anything.
Yeah. So my aunt has five. She had the first four naturally. And then the fifth one, she was like, I'm getting it. She was like, oh, this is awesome.
Oh, really? Yeah. Did you have to do, like, a spinal tap for it?
No, but you know what?
See,
here's the thing.
Too much.
It's, girlfriend, it's worth it. Let me tell you. It's like a minute of discomfort, uncomfortable, and then it's like relief.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, I'm getting all the drugs. I want drugs immediately when I get there.
Next time, I'm telling
until
you, girl.
I leave.
I was like, whenever your best anesthesiologist comes in, send it my way.
Yeah.
Or her. She. Excuse me. How gender normative of me. When she gets in, you send her my way.
My when cousin? They get in.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm so sorry. Yes, you're right.
I know. It's fine. We're all learning.
My cousin is like a doula, and she has had three kids now, and she does home births. And
oh my goodness.
She had a photographer
what?
There
what?
Photographing her birth session, and she sent me the link to it, and she's like, you know, I don't know if you're going to get through all of it, but, like, if you're interested, it's pretty artistic and cool. But she's like, you know, you'll start to see when it's about to happen. And I definitely went one click too far, and I saw a lot.
Can you send that to me? Because I feel like that would help with my baby fever.
Oh, it'll deter you.
That would
kind of
curb that appetite.
It'll buy you a few years. Because it's a lot. But she's like... like a woman of the forest, like basically like squats down on like her living room floor, like gets on all fours on her bed and like shot a baby right out, and like the midwife caught her, and like it's
Are like, there supposed to be benefits to that? Like I know people say like it's better if you're not drugged up because then the baby's not drugged up. I'm like, does that really matter that
much? It's also kind of like pooping though, where like if you squat, there's a natural gravity helping you. Yeah. Same with childbirth, if it's a better angle, and you know, if you're on a bed, you're like nothing's helping there. You're just on your back. Yeah.
They just tip the bed a little bit. They got the freaking they got the action button. So can they
the
just
technology.
Go?
I think I want to be in a hospital just for like safety, right?
Yeah.
Did you have any like question of if you were doing it at home or in the hospital? Or did you know for sure hospital?
I knew for sure hospital. Okay. We had a friend. I love women that are able to do it. Like at home, I think that's the fucking coolest thing, honestly.
Yeah.
Like I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
But I get it, and I think it's fucking amazing. And like to each their own. For us, not that this scared me out of it, because I always planned on hospital. Because God forbid something goes wrong, now you have to get you or your kid to the hospital.
Exactly.
All those all those seconds are precious, right?
Oh yeah.
But we had a friend who had who went to a birthing center actually, so she wasn't even at home, and she labored for too long there before they sent her to the hospital. She had to have an emergency C-section, which was not her plan. Like she wanted, obviously, going to a birthing center, she wanted like a natural birth and all of this stuff. And I was just like, you know what? God forbid something goes wrong. Like we're going to the hospital. So that was the plan all along.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. I didn't mean to overlap your question because you asked about the day in the life.
Oh no. Yeah. Whether you want to talk about that. I know. I want to know, like, okay, outside of experiencing postpartum depression, are there days where you're like, this is probably going to sound really shitty. Are there days where it's like, I don't think I should have done this yet. Like, be a mom yet. And I feel bad that Sophia might see this one day. But
whatever.
I think there's people that feel that way. And I just, like, I want
to
know if that ever crosses your mind as a parent.
During my postpartum, like I said, I was like, maybe I shouldn't have been a mom. Like, I had those thoughts. Right. But I don't feel like... ever I shouldn't have had her or but I do have selfishly I have those days where I'm like I don't want to take care of somebody else. I want to lay in bed and I want to finish binge watching Mindhunter and I don't want to watch like Mickey Mouse Clubhouse not that we have the TV on all the time for her, but like, you know, I want to sit down every once in a while so we turn it on and she stares at it and I'm cool with that, so don't judge me.
Definitely not judge.
But you do have, and anybody that says they don't have those days I think is full of shit.
Yeah.
Because
there
are days where you're like, I don't want to even take care of myself. I want to lay in bed and I want to eat shitty food and I don't want to have to get up and take care of somebody else.
Right.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
So those days I think exist, and they probably exist more often than they should, but I love Sophia. And like people would ask me, are you happy being a mom? And my answer was always, I'm happy being Sophia's mom.
Aww.
Which I don't know if that makes any sense to you, but for me, when I was going through all of my shit, I was like, man, when I was thinking maybe being a mom wasn't the right thing for me, I'd be like, no, being her mom is cool. You know, like being, I have to remember, like being her mom is great.
Yeah.
Like, other kids suck, but she's cool.
She's cool.
That's so
cute. Yeah.
Okay, so you asked what it was like right after delivery.
Yes.
You asked a day in life. I can
Did
ask.
You have to, like, wear a diaper for a while? Is that, like, part of
it? It's fucking gross.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. Was your butthole just, like, on the outside of your
body? Well, here's the thing. I didn't. My husband was like, I don't want to watch. I don't want to see anything. And I said, great, because I don't want anybody down there that's not supposed to be down there. And then he watched the whole fucking thing. So there's that. But then, like, I didn't know. Like, I didn't take any classes. I was like, I have my mom. My mom will teach me how to be a mom. I don't want to go, like, learn from some other person I don't know. So I didn't know what was going to happen. So they found out. They knew I wanted to breastfeed. So, like, they take her out and they, like, clean her up. And then they put your baby on your chest. And then she starts fucking pecking at me. And I was like a fucking chicken. She was like this, like, looking for my nipple. And I was like, what the fuck is happening? Why is she pecking?
You start bleeding dry immediately.
Right away, she started, like, pecking at my chest. And I was like, oh, my God, what did I get myself into? What is happening to my
my body right now. And then they just fucking go on your nipple. And I was like, this is not, like, I'm sure a lot of moms are like, oh my God, this is what I was born to do. And I was like, what is happening? I have something on my nipple that's not my husband. Sorry, mom. Yeah. What the fuck is happening?
Does it hurt?
It hurts so bad. It hurts so bad.
Do you gotta put like nipple cream and all that stuff?
You have to get nipple cream. It's a godsend. Like, yeah. I had a friend whose nipple, like, your nipples can bleed and crack. Oh. And then, like, I had a friend who showed, like, Snapchatted me a picture of a piece of her nipple that came.
What?
It was horrifying. And I was like, you have to send me a pre, like, hey, something terrifying is coming your way before you send me that.
Yeah, like, I'm not safe for work.
Not safe.
Or ever. Not safe ever to look at.
How much nipple are we talking?
Just, I mean, like, just a little
there's
chunk.
There's only so much nipple.
Just a little piece. But it was terrifying. I didn't have that experience, but I do remember the nurse coming in and saying, you're going to be great, babe.
You're
gonna
be
it's
a great
fine.
Mom.
It's fine now.
And you can also my nipples too much.
You can do formula. It's fine. Formula kids are just fine.
Yeah, you probably just put your fake nipple on.
No, but I didn't.
I mean, I got these are already fake. The titties are already fake. Might as well get fake nipples.
Like a crown. You can get a crown on your tooth.
Them on. People do that.
Oh. Yeah, they do that. Yep.
It's true.
So continue.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. This is great.
This is great information.
So, no, I didn't take advice. I had one of my husband's coworker said, walk around topless, like really get your nipples used to like being out. And like you think about chapped lips, like if you lick chapped lips, it makes them worse. Right.
Right, right.
So she's like, dry them out, make like, get them used to it. Walk around topless, do whatever. And I did. And I was like, oh, I'll be fine. I was not fine. It hurts. And I remember the nurse came in and she's like, okay, she needs to eat every like 2 to 3 hours. Cool. And that's, you realize that's 2 to 3 hours from when she starts, right? And like, she would breastfeed for like 30 or 40 minutes. And when she said it to me, I was like, wait, I have to do it again in like an hour? And I just started crying.
I have no idea.
You guys are not laughing, but I'm
just
holding
up. I didn't even realize I was doing it. And I'm like, no.
Seriously, thank you for being honest. I'm serious because like, we need this
information. Tell you that it hurts and it hurts so bad. And then, but honestly, after 2 weeks, it's like, whatever.
Because they're just chafed.
2 weeks?
Yeah, it's tough. But then, I mean, I don't know how much you guys want to know. I can ramble about this forever.
Just
but
tell me everything.
Okay, so
I've already gone too far.
We need to make educated decisions about doing this. Yes. And I like having all of my information. And a lot of people are not forthcoming about this information.
That's true.
Okay, so this is another sad story. My daughter and I, she's great and we are very attached. She loves me. She's obsessed with me. And it goes both ways. But she stopped breastfeeding at 2 months old. So I pumped from when she was 2 months to when she was 12 months every 3 hours, except I would sleep through the night. But she had the food allergies and I didn't know, and she had acid reflux. And with babies, they have no, like, there's like, when we have it, we can like, and like choke it down. They don't have that. They have a valve. It's like with the reflux babies, their valve that like stops the esophagus isn't fully formed. So if they need to, they'll just spit up everywhere all the time. And like babies throw up, but she was doing it an insane amount of time. And every time I would lay her down, they don't like laying flat, lay her down to breastfeed, the acid would whoosh up her esophagus and she would push off me and start crying. Oh. So she rejected my boobs, which hurt my feelings. Because I was like, I went through all that with my nipples for fucking nothing.
Yeah.
Where was I going with this? Why did I start
sad story?
This
acid reflux, food allergies.
So when she started saying no to the nip, what happened next? How does that work?
I don't even know why I started this, but I'll tell you all this. So we took her to a GI doctor, as I talked about in the beginning, and she tested her and she said, okay, she's got acid reflux and food allergies. Take all these things out. I wish I knew why I started.
You'll come back to it.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. You'll get to it.
This is all great.
Go, girl.
So,
how long do you have to wear the diaper?
Oh, the diaper. Okay, yeah, so I had to pump every 3 hours. I struggled with milk supply. It's fine. It's whatever. I had a friend donate milk by the time Sophia could eat everything, and things were great. So the diaper.
Yeah.
So I didn't know that I ripped, which you can, you rip, right?
Yeah. Do you either rip or they cut you?
They don't like to cut anymore because they think, I know. So there was this old school way of thinking. You poor thing. Are you okay?
Kelsey wasn't even going to have kids like for another few, like 5 years.
Yeah, you'll forget
right?
about it. Don't watch this. Don't watch this episode or listen to it when you're planning on it. So they don't like cutting anymore because they think it's less sterile to open you up. They'd rather, if you're going to rip, just rip and they'll fix you later. Oh. So I ripped. They gave me a stitch, but I didn't, and I didn't know that. They didn't tell me. She just like stitched.
Why would they not tell you that?
I don't know because my daughter didn't tell me. So then I went.
Sue.
I should sue.
know. If there's a fucking stitch in your cooter, people better tell
you. They probably just assumed I knew.
What?
Yeah, but if you can't feel anything, how could you? Yeah, so you found out what, days later?
Well, here's the thing. So I'm in a lot of, like, I'm hobbling around because I'm in some pain, and I assumed it was just because I just delivered a baby, and, like, of course I'm in pain.
Yeah.
And so, like, you would pee and, like, dab yourself. And you don't dab yourself. They give you a spray bottle that you're supposed to spray yourself with water after you pee because you can't wipe because, at least, I don't know if that's because I had a stitch or not, or just because you had a baby, but they don't want you to, like, hurt yourself.
So they give you, yourself
they
down.
They give you a bottle and you, I can't believe, what if you, it's poop? So weird. No one knows this.
I don't
stuff.
Know
yeah,
any
what
of
if
this.
You
same
poop?
Thing. Same
you
thing.
You spray?
You gotta spray,
no.
babe.
Wait, you don't wipe at all?
You can't. It's you basically like a bidet. It's a yourself. Hand bidet.
Oh my God.
It's like a
that's
hand
bidet. That's not enough for poop.
No.
The way I have to wipe when I poop?
Yeah.
A little spray bottle's not fixing that.
How long did you have to spray your stuff?
Oh, God. I had to do it when I went home, too. So I was in the hospital for 2 days. And I did it when I went home. I don't remember. They tell you don't remember, and I'm like, bullshit, I'm going to remember fucking all of this, but I don't.
Yeah.
I don't. Wow. And then they give you these ice packs. You wear, like, this really fucking ugly, it's a diaper, like you said, and you put ice packs. They give you these, like, breakable ice packs, you know, like you have it, like, when you played sports, and, like, you just pop an ice pack and put it on, but you put it in your little fucking diaper. Yeah. Sorry, I swear a lot.
No, that's
and then you
perfect.
Just, you wear that. And you heal. But I was spraying and I was just like feeling down there. Cause I was like, what's going on down there? How am I now? And I was like, oh God, there's a big lump. But I had a bunch of people in my room and I was like, I'm in a lot of pain and I don't know why. And she's like, oh, you probably have a hemorrhoid, but there's a ton of people in the room. So I don't want to, I won't check you. We'll just give you hemorrhoid cream, which, by the way, I got the bill for. Very expensive at a hospital when it's like $3
really?
At the store.
But
yeah, it's like $5 for an ibuprofen. It's ridiculous. Anyway.
Bastard. Come and prepared to the hospital.
Yeah, can
prepared.
You bring your own
don't
pills?
Don't let them gut you.
Unclear. Then another nurse checked me. She's like, oh, you don't have a hemorrhoid. It's just your stitch. You're just a little bit swollen. So I had been putting fucking hemorrhoid cream on my stitch for no reason.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, this is miserable. Why is this happening to me?
Oh my gosh.
I know.
Okay.
It's not that big of a deal, but I was like, I don't want to touch that thing if I don't have to. It's
dude,
yeah.
Did you feel like a little forgotten about, like, yo, like everybody's all about the baby when the baby comes out. It's like, dude, I'm still here and in pain and I got shit going on and nobody even bothered to tell me that I got, I ripped.
100%.
So this
is not postpartum anymore. This is just fucking
this is birth.
This is birth. So much birth.
So with all of this wrecking your basement, is it not?
I just want to say for the record, I am not wrecked any longer. I am fine.
Kegels.
Did it come
remodel.
Back well?
Remodel.
I came back, babe.
Elastic.
Do you do any of that?
Mm-mm.
It's fine. It just fixes itself.
Mine did. I don't pee. Like, I don't have any of those weird things
great.
Where you, like, laugh and sneeze and pee. I did that when I was pregnant, but not now.
Is it as tight as
it happens
was?
To me just having a tampon in.
I'll ask Vinny.
Yeah.
I asked her, is it as tight as it was?
You don't have to worry about anything. Fucking Chinese finger trap. Pussy there.
It's
wait, what was
small.
Your question? Sorry.
C-section. I mean, everybody says that that's like a huge major surgery that most people would like to avoid. Mm-hmm. But when you do a C-section, then you don't have any of the basement problems.
Yeah.
So, I mean, where did you stand on that?
Way bigger recovery, though, right?
Way bigger recovery.
Yeah, major. Well, my mom had 2 C-sections, and hers, she's like, I healed just fine. Everyone was surprised how well I healed. But then I had friends who had them who, like, really struggled.
Mm.
And for me, I feel like having a surgery like that and then having to take care of a baby would be harder. So for me, it's not my ideal. But some people plan them, you know? Like, it's all to each their own.
It's,
you
so
know?
Hard
it's so hard.
Because I've thought of that, too. Like, I was a C-section and I've thought about it, and when I was younger I was like, I'm gonna get a C-section, that sounds way easier, you should get them out.
Yeah.
And but then you really think about it and you're like, I don't want to tear, I don't want to rip, and then you're like, okay, so you're just gonna have them rip your
open
your stomach, like how is that less whatever? But it feels more controlled somehow, I don't know. And the way my dad described them getting me out of my mom was like
horrible.
He's like they told me not to look, I looked over the curtain,
tugging.
And they like jumped on your mom and were like working you out from it was Oh my gosh.
I didn't know you were a C-section too. I also was. And they said that my shoulders were so wide that it was just like trying to get a football player out of a hole. And they were just tugging at me. But my mom was like scared into a C-section because I was a big old baby. So they basically say like, probably best if she doesn't come through the vagina.
I was nine. It wasn't that you were in a weird position. They're upside down.
This is going to be a 10-pound baby. So it's up to you. But highly recommend a C-section. Yeah. So she went with that because of...
And how did she feel about the C-section?
I mean, I'm her only kid, so she doesn't really have anything to compare.
One and done.
Yeah, she's got nothing to compare it to. Yeah. But she said, yeah, it was a tough recovery. It's a major surgery, and then yeah, like Jesse said, on top of it, then you got to take care of this baby.
Yeah, that's true.
I have to go. This could have been like a 2-hour episode.
Oh my god, I
want to ask you about like pregnancy and all this shit, but
I'll answer anything.
Maybe we could have you back on for like a part two.
Sure. Seriously.
Yeah. Actually, can I touch on something that you said just now?
Yes.
Quickly, when you were like, you talked about, you know, did you feel forgotten about in the hospital because you were like, everyone cared about the baby and you felt like no one told you anything. Yeah. Honestly, to me, that can kind of sum up how I felt with postpartum.
Oh.
Not that people didn't care about me, but I felt like I didn't deserve the attention, or I felt like she needed it because, you know, she had all of her health problems and she's a baby and I'm an adult. I should be able to figure this out. Mm. And I just felt like, is somebody going to ask if I'm okay? Cause I'm not okay. You know what I mean?
Man.
Yeah. So and not that people weren't like, people would be like, oh, how are you? How are you doing? And like my experience just felt so different than what I expected or what people expect, you know?
Yeah.
But I know you have to leave, but I just wanted to touch on that really quick. That like, and honestly, like for anybody listening, just talk about it. The more that I talked about it, the more I realized that a lot of people have postpartum depression, postpartum anxiety. Like I had really bad anxiety too. I didn't want to leave my house, which I didn't really talk about at all. But it's really common. It's more common. Unfortunately, it's very common.
Yeah. Mm.
But the more you talk about it, the more you realize that people go through it, which is why, like you said, Delaney, you and I don't hang out all the time, but like I talk about it. I just tell people. So like if somebody else goes through it, they're like, well, at least I know somebody that went through it. And maybe it's not that abnormal and it's not that weird.
Yeah.
Totally. You know?
Absolutely.
Thank you for coming and sharing.
Thank you for having me. I'm so sorry if this was really depressing.
No, this is amazing.
Or scary.
Shut up.
Have a kid if
I just
you want
won't
one.
Have kids anymore. But seriously.
And I did my job.
No, I'm kidding. No, you were amazing.
Thank
and like,
you.
I'm so glad to be so much more informed. I do need to hear a lot of
things. Seriously.
So.
Yeah. I think you literally answered all my question because I was just going to basically ask you, what would you like the general public to know about postpartum? What would you like other women to know who might be suffering from it and maybe don't realize it? But you just covered all that.
Basically,
thank you.
It's
common. This is one of my favorite ones for sure.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Got
you so good. Seriously.
My nipples just got hard.
For different reasons.
I'm not kidding.
Oh my God.
I'm so Dutch.
I love it.
Oh, I don't wear bras anymore, by the way.
Like, oh my God. That's
Oh my God. I love you.
Jesse, if we haven't already given you a reason to subscribe to our YouTube, you better go.
Seriously.
Hard nips.
Please write in to selfhelplesspodcast@gmail.com if you want to send a message to Jesse. She's not a big social media person, which she talked about. So we will relay the information. So if you loved her, if you identified with what she said, if you have questions, anything, we will put her in touch with those messages.
Yeah. Subscribe to Self Helpless on iTunes. Give us a 5-star rating and review, and share the podcast with a friend if you love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything that you want to sign off with or anything else?
If you're going through it, you're not alone. Talk to somebody. Talk to literally anybody.
Yeah.
Someone will listen to you. And go to postpartum.net. It's so far for me. Like I said, I haven't followed through because that's the kind of person I am. But it seems like a really, really good resource that I wish I knew about a long time ago. And thank you guys for having me.
Yeah.
And talking
thanks
about it.
Thank you.
All right. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Love you.
Love
bye.
You. Bye.
Why won't it let me?